And in the aftermath of the German surrender, more than 1,600 of Hitler's technologists would become America's own. What follows puts a spotlight on 21 of these men. Under Operation Paperclip, which began in May of 1945, the scientists who helped the Third Reich wage war continued their weapons-related work for the U.S. government, developing rockets, chemical and biological weapons, aviation and space medicine for enhancing military pilot and astronaut performance, and many other armaments at a feverish and paranoid pace that came to define the Cold War. The age of weapons of mass destruction had begun, and with it came the treacherous concept of brinksmanship, the art of pursuing dangerous policy to the limits of safety before stopping. Hiring dedicated Nazis was without precedent, entirely unprincipled, and inherently dangerous, not just because, as Undersecretary of War Robert Patterson stated when debating if he should approve Paperclip, "these men are enemies," but because it was counter to democratic ideals. The men profiled in this book were not nominal Nazis. 8 of the 21, Otto Ambrose, Theodor Benziger, Kurt Blome, Walter Dornberger, Siegfried Knaemeyer, Walter Schreiber, Walter Schieber, and Werner von Braun, each at some point worked side by side with Adolf Hitler, Heinrich Himmler, or Hermann Göring during the war. 15 of the 21 were dedicated members of the Nazi Party. 10 of them also joined the ultra-violent, ultra-nationalistic Nazi Party paramilitary squads, the SA, Sturmabteilung, or Stormtroopers, and the SS, Schutzstaffel, or Protection Squadron. 2 wore the Golden Party badge, indicating favor bestowed by the Führer. 1 was given an award of 1,000,000 Reichsmarks for scientific achievement. 6 of the 21 stood trial at Nuremberg. A 7th was released without trial under mysterious circumstances. And an 8th stood trial in Dachau for regional war crimes. 1 was convicted of mass murder and slavery, served some time in prison, was granted clemency, and then was hired by the U.S. Department of Energy. They came to America at the behest of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Some officials believed that by endorsing the paperclip program, they were accepting the lesser of two evils, that if America didn't recruit these scientists, the Soviet communists surely would. Other generals and colonels respected and admired these men and said so. To comprehend the impact of Operation Paperclip on American national security during the early days of the Cold War and the legacy of warfighting technology it has left behind, it is important first to understand that the program was governed out of an office in the elite E-ring of the Pentagon. The Joint Intelligence Objectives Agency, JOA, was created solely and specifically to recruit and hire Nazi scientists and put them on weapons projects and in scientific intelligence programs within the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, the CIA, starting in 1947, and other organizations. In some cases, when individual scientists had been too close to Hitler, the JOA hired them to work at U.S. military facilities in occupied Germany. The JOA was a subcommittee of the Joint Intelligence Committee, JIC, which provided national security information for the Joint Chiefs of Staff. The JIC remains the least known and least studied U.S. intelligence agency of the 20th century. To understand the mindset of the Joint Intelligence Committee, consider this. Within 1 year of the atomic bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, the JIC warned the Joint Chiefs of Staff that the United States needed to prepare for total war with the Soviets, to include atomic, chemical, and biological warfare, and they even set an estimated start date of 1952. This book focuses on that uneasy period from 1945 to 1952, in which the JOA's recruitment of Nazi scientists was forever on the rise, culminating in accelerated paperclip, which allowed individuals